what's coming up on today's experience. Devotional Diamonds of the Day, also known as DDDs, where my daily devotions become some of our spiritual reflections. Sound effects placed throughout the show which have nothing to do with life, but listen closely for the clues because they could win you a Josh McDowell book. Ooh. The review of the Goofy News, which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think. But listen closely if you want to hear their agenda. It comes from every media group. Yes, it does. Life lessons for our faith that we could actually use probably won't if we sit on our blessed assurance. Humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? Because I'm willing to tell you, I have an agenda. It's to help all of us get one step closer to Jesus Christ. Well, that's a good one. Also, Bible trivia for fake and yet somehow real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more. To the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is David Spoon. I will be your host for the next 5,400,000 milliseconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here is the key to the show. Everything you need to know about this show, coming up in the next sentence. Everything you were trying to figure out when you took your chart out and put it on the wall and put pins with it and markers and everything else, along with a compass, this is what you were trying to figure out. I'm going to give it to you right now. Now, here's the key to the show. We don't know what we're doing.
Not a clue.
I mean, that's all you got to know. Yeah, we don't know. We have no idea what's going to happen. We don't care. But for the next few minutes, I want to talk faith with you. So here we go. We're asking questions about living life as a Christian. That thingy. You know, watch this. We all have agendas. An agenda means an underlying plan. But is our agenda in sync with God's agenda? It's all that matters right there. Woo! Okay. If you've got an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, please don't let it die of loneliness. That is sad. So sad. Just give us a call at 972-445-0770. Now, I'll say that slower because sometimes I say it this fast. 972-445-0770. So to me, that's too fast. So 972-445-0770. When you make that phone call, you'll end up talking to Dynamite D.
Hello, lucky person. You got the number right, because you are talking to Kid a Dynamite.
Dynamite! All right, talking to Dynamite D is like receiving help after you realize you had too much pride to ask for the help in the first place.
Oh, wow, Dave.
That's a good one. It's like, whoa. Now, we know there's a weather alert. It's okay, folks. It's all right. Because guess what? Weather happens. And I'm just going to use a couple of people who I know family-wise who have said, what is Texas weather like? See, I can tell you, in Phoenix, you know what the weather is? It's hot. Okay? In California, it's sunny. In Texas, right? Bipolar. Just don't tell me. It's like one day there. It's like all over the place, right? I mean, come on. So here's the bottom line to the process. We'll just do the show. If you miss something because of the weather alert, you can always check it back on the podcast. Those are available for everybody. We do want you to have that opportunity to reach out to us. I do want you to know during the show you can text us, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Here we go. 214-210-8483. You know, I'm going to try that in a Texas twang. You think I can do that?
I know you can, Dave.
Well, let's see if we can try. Well, that's 214-210-8483.
Is that Texas?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't do voices for a living. I just do a show. Bottom line, you can text us as well. You can send an email, David@hemustincrease.org, D-A-V-I-D, David@hemustincrease.org. I do get all the emails. I try to respond to all the emails. It takes a little time sometimes. So respond to all the texts, all the phone calls, everything that's going on with everybody. And now we're going to send you up to the website. A couple things to remind you of. Please don't forget, on the website's the information for our speaking event July 2nd at Lake Murphy Baptist Church. The other thing I want to remind you of is that this Friday, for the last like 60 minutes or so, we're going to have Tanya Magnus, who's going to be on the show. She's one of the directors who are in charge of Choose to Soar. We're going to have this whole process where we give her the chance to share whatever is on her heart, because that's what we want to do. We want to support other ministries and bless them. Also, don't forget about June Buddies. That's pretty important. And then if you can give, that'd be fantastic. I'll leave that before you and the Lord. If you can figure it out, you can do it directly through the website, or there's information on the website on how to give. Please check out hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
hemustincrease.org.
Praise report?
hemustincrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
hemustincrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
hemustincrease.org.
hemustincrease.org.
I see. I think we should have one of those in our head. And then when you do say something that's wrong, you press that button and you pull it back.
A little rewind
and
action.
And then it just rewinds. I just think everybody should have one of those. Shout out to Randy Davis. Thank you, brother. Appreciate that note. Very, very kind. I thank you so much. I want to go to prayer for a couple of people right off the bat. Joanne is one of our faves, and she's been feeling kind of tired and kind of weary. You know, it gets a little tough, especially the stuff she's going through. Plus, I need to pray for my son and his family, an undisclosed illness. Let's just say it's child-oriented, but it's an undisclosed illness, so we want to be praying for them. Plus the people we need to be praying for, like Nola, the people we need to be praying for, like Gary, and like Deb, and like Ace, and all of us. And we had Will Rogers call the other day, said he wasn't feeling good. We need to be praying for him. So let's come before the Lord in prayer, offer up our faith, and ask him, Lord, for the grace of God to be bestowed upon us. How about that? Lord, we come before you right now, and I'm just excited to talk to you every time I talk to you. It doesn't bother me in the slightest. I love communicating with you. I love praying. I love talking to you. You're my best friend ever. And man, there's nobody like you. And so we love you, and we want to do the right things. We want to do it right. We want to say it right. We want to think it right. We're looking for that. And sometimes we fall a little short, Lord, and you know we're sorry. We're so thankful for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and we're so thankful for the blood. We come before you and we're asking for healing power for some of these people that are in our family. Now we know 1 Peter 2:24 talks about that through the wounds of Jesus we are healed. We also know what your word says in Exodus 15:26. It teaches us that you are Jehovah Rapha, the Lord God that heals. And so we're asking you to do that very thing. We're not demanding, we're not commanding, we're petitioning. And we're asking it to you with a heart of thanksgiving, knowing you've done far more than everything we've asked in our lives, in our lifetimes. We ask you to do it yet again, because you are always faithful and true. Touch these people physically in their bodies in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. And amen. That's the way to rock and roll on a show, right? Right? My feet, right. My feet are on the rock. And my name is on the roll. So you got to remember. All right, here we go. We are in, for those who do not know, Matthew. Yay! I love this study in Matthew. So we're teaching 10 books. 4 books I am absolutely lights out crazy about, okay? 3 books I'm like, yeah, pretty excited. And then the other 3, you know, they're longer. That's my nice way of saying it. But I love this Matthew study because there is so much material and everything. And this is the first gospel. Remember, originally written, what, to the Jew first and then to the Greek? Romans chapter 1, verse 16, Matthew, first gospel in the New Testament, written to the Jew first. That's not that complex. We can figure that out. We are in Matthew chapter 11, and let me make sure we're on the right verse. We're on verse 16. And this is a challenge for some, so let's read it and we'll go into it. Here it goes. How shall I describe this generation? This people, are like, these people are like a group of children playing a game in the public square. They complain to their friends. We played wedding songs, and you weren't happy. So we played funeral songs, and you weren't sad. For John the Baptist didn't drink wine. He often fasted, and you said he is a demon. I, the Son of Man, came feasting and drinking, and you say he's a glutton and a drunkard and a friend of the worst sinners, sorts of sinners. But wisdom is shown to be right by what results from it. And some of your texts will say, but wisdom is shown right by its children. Children is the fruit. And that's what that means, in case you're trying to figure that out. So let's just deal with this and be super nice about it, because that's our job. Be super nice. How shall I describe this generation? That's what Jesus said. Because, you know, Jesus says everything in absolutely the most glowing, loving, and peace terms. In fact, when people think of Jesus, they think of him as a dude with long hair, and he's got a peace symbol around him. And then he's going around, he's giving everybody the peace sign, he's walking in sandals, right? And that's the kind of thing that people think about Jesus. Yeah. That's a cute picture. Pretty interesting if you read Rolling Stones, but that's not really the book you're supposed to be reading to figure out what Jesus is like or what he conveys. Here's what Jesus says. He's talking to people in glowing terms. He tells this group of people, the current generation, he tells them what he thinks of them. Ready? Not much. That's what he thinks of the current generation. Listen to this. I mean, this is kind of a forward thing. Here's the reality. At that age and at that time of the period of life, and in his time, and in our age, and in our time, it's not that different. What do you mean, Dave? They're like a group of children. If you have not quite figured it out, that is not a compliment. He is not going, bravo, bravo. This is not the reference point. You got to be like a child to enter the kingdom of God. That has to do with humility and teachability and trust factors. This is the other direction, and I'll explain that in a minute. So here's the main reason why they're not that different from our society, because when Jesus talked about this generation, he said, referring to this generation, that that's the people who are of the world and worldly. We're like children. So how is that affect us now? I'll tell you exactly how. The politicians, the government, the media, the broadcasters, the educational system, and most of the protesters are just like children. Not the good kids, but the brats. Just exactly what Jesus is saying. It's not my fault. He's like, well, I'm just, don't get mad at me. He's like, Jesus is like going, you guys are like whiny little kids. And see, this is not the cute kid or, oh, look how cute a child is. And this is not W.C. Fields getting upset because the child has stolen the scene because children are more funny than comedians, right? That's not this. Jesus is like going, you are like, wow. You are like immature. He's like, is that terrible?
That was a pretty impressive list, Dave.
Yeah. I mean, if you think about the depth of what Jesus is saying, he's talking to the generation going, bunch of brats. It's like, what? No, everything Jesus said was everybody was perfect. No, he didn't. And this is more proof. In fact, Jesus' first message was repent. John the Baptist's first message was repent. Peter's first message was repent. Paul's first message was repent. I see a pattern. The idea behind this is to understand that what's going on is that Jesus is exceedingly disappointed, because it doesn't matter what the approach is, people are just going to take their positions. That's when they have bought into the lie that they're just like God and they get to decide what's right and wrong. I think we'll break there, because we can go another 20 minutes on that. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon Experience? Imagine yourself on a rocket ship racing at 1,000 miles an hour into space. Once there, you can sense the power and the presence of the majestic and the divine. You forget about your troubles and your fears, and you just float in peace without a worry in the world. There are no struggles, no pain, no discomfort. It's soothing, calm, comfortable. But then the show starts, and you realize that none of that stuff has anything to do with the show. What were you thinking? The David Spoon Experience, only for the brave of heart and the bored.
The David Spoon Experience.
They were sisters.
That is correct, sir! You are right! And it's like I'm not saying, I don't want to, you know, say it, but like, yuck. That's all I can say. It's like, I'm sorry, that's all I can come up with. Like, yowza.
Well, he was tricked into it.
So. Yeah. I mean, I'm going to go with that. But I mean, if you're the two sisters, you just got to be thinking, now, wait a second here.
Can I tell a real quick joke?
Absolutely.
I won't take up much time, hopefully. I'll try to make it biblical, but not scriptural.
I'm with you. That's about 99% of everything we do on jokes. Trust me.
I figured you'd understand. Well, to set this up.
Okay.
To set this up. When I ask the question, you'll have to answer it to the first thing that pops into your head. Otherwise, it's kind of like those knock-knock jokes. You have to say knock-knock, you know, or who's there. So anyway, Paul was out in the Mediterranean Sea. He was sailing across it. And right before the storm hit, he was writing some letters, and he was sitting there writing, and one of the sailors came up and looked at him and said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Well, I'm writing some letters here." And Paul put down his quill and parchment and looked up at the sailor and decided this is the time to talk to him. He says, "Now, here's the question, David, and this is where you have to answer."
Okay.
"What is a pirate's favorite letter of the alphabet?"
And
the sailor said, "Nah, that would be the sea, matey, the sea."
That's a good one. So it's not the R. No, it's the sea. It's the sea, matey.
Hey, I love your show. Thanks for keeping it going.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you for being such a great brother and a great support. We appreciate you. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. I love that little part. That's like just a nice little thing, right?
Yeah, it fits you well today.
Yeah. Don't forget to be praying for Dynamite D. He's our bud. Don't forget to be praying for Jennifer. I would never do her job in a bazillion, gazillion years. And then don't forget to pray for Don, because I wouldn't do his job in 16 gazillion, bazillion years.
Pretty much.
I mean, that's how I feel about it. Now, I am going to remind you, we got a couple of brothers that are really needing some help work-wise. And so they're reaching out to us. There's three. This is how far off I am. But anyway, the idea here is I'd like you guys to, I'm not going to go into their names, but I'd like you to bear their burdens and pray. I'm praying. You know, if there's something we can do through the ministry, great. We're not really a cash cow.
Not rolling in the dough.
Not, but that doesn't mean the Lord wouldn't open some up. So I'm just like, whatever. Let's just see what the Lord does. So let's be praying for them, praying for the needs of everybody. That's just a big part of the Christian faith is, you know, I love the teaching. I love the entertainment. I love the interaction. I love all that. But you got to carry. And you just got to learn to carry. You can't just carry your own stuff. I'm telling you, when people are self-focused, it drives them down. It's just no way around that. So please be praying for one another. That would be just an awesome thing to do. Here's your first trivia question. If you don't get this, I ain't going to be happy. Is that a good way to do it? Okay. Genesis, you got to fill in the rest of this. When God said, "Let us make man in our," okay, got to finish that. Thank you. Don't give me anything else. Just finish the questions because we have so many other questions depending on other questions. In Genesis, God said, "Let us make man in our," okay, if you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483 as well. You can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. We got a ton of answers coming in, which, you know, when the questions are a little easier, it does happen. I mean, that's kind of a norm process. When the questions are hard, I can tell when a question is hard because I ask a question and I can see how less the response unless the response is. All right, so we're going to attempt to do our DNA, and if we can't do it this segment, we'll do it in the next segment. But do we want to do the person first or the DNA first?
We can do the person, I guess.
All right, let's do the person first. We got somebody on the phone. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, David. It's Deborah.
Hi, Deborah. It's so awesome to hear from you. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Had a kind of a toughy weekend, and Noelle's been praying for me, so if you would do this, I would really appreciate it. But going through a little bit of spiritual warfare that's been less than pleasant. That's a nice way to put it. You know what I'm talking about? You go through it, and you're like going,
Yes, sir.
Okay, as long as you know what I'm talking about, it's like, I need prayer for that, so please be praying me for that.
Yes, certainly.
All right, here we go. And God said, let us make man. What's the rest?
In our image.
That is correct, Amanda! That is 100% correct. So there's two major points in there, like kind of like a important points. One, the most direct way we're in the image of God is in the way that God controls the universe. Man was supposed to control the earth. So, I mean, that was like the initial process. And then the second part is because of sin, you know, people would say, well, man is basically good. And it's like, no, God makes it clear. Man is basically evil. The moments are good because they were made in the image of God. So it's kind of like the other way around. So sin tainted it, ruined it, some kind of thing. I just love hearing from you. So I want you to keep calling in because I love to hear your voice. And I pray for you every day and hoping you're doing great.
Thank you so much. I pray for everybody, really. I try to all the time.
I appreciate that. The Lord bless
and,
you.
I just wanted to tell you I'm really enjoying the teaching today.
Oh, good. I'm glad. I hope we can get to the next section's really fun. It's because this thing on John the Baptist and Jesus is really fun. So I'm hoping we get there. Thank you, Deb. Take care.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, so what we'll do is we'll do the DNA later. Okay. So you have to work everything out with my buddy over there. All right, so I want to go back to this. And Deborah brings up a point, because this teaching is really, it's really amazing when you get into it. So here's what Jesus said. Now, after he makes that statement about them being like childlike, and again, like brats, just be honest. Verse 18, he goes, for John the Baptist didn't drink wine and often fasted, and you say he's demon-possessed. So let's start with there. John the Baptist, he of all the things John the Baptist was, he was not a conformist. Everybody would agree. The last thing he did was sway to people's opinions, okay? Came out of the wilderness, wore strange clothes, ate strange food, didn't drink, smoke, or chew, or hang around those who do. Remember that saying? That's right. Pull you back into the 60s with that one.
That was nice, Dave.
That's right. Don't drink, smoke, or chew, or hang around with those who do. So how did they respond to him? He's got a demon. This is what's amazing. This is how the world is. Now, when they say that he's got a demon, they're not trying to put that in the juxtaposition to angels. They just think he's like, you know, dumb, bad, evil, all those terrible things you can come up with. Like, that's what they're talking about. Right? They're talking about he's evil. Why? Because he doesn't drink, he doesn't smoke, he doesn't chew. He's got weird clothes, he's eating weird food. They thought he was evil because he was on a mission from God. Now, that's what's going on. Now, I know you're going to use that Blues Brothers reference for those of you who are old enough, okay? We're on a mission from God. I get that. But here's what the real thing is. He was actually on a mission from God, and they hated him for it. That's what, you know, and you think, well, no, if John had been a little more like, you know, social, they would have liked him. Really? Now let's look at the next verse and see if that's true. So after Jesus said John the Baptist didn't drink wine and he often fasted, and you say he's demon possessed, and I, the Son of Man, feast and drink, and you say he's a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of the worst sinners. Put to bed the ridiculousness that there wasn't alcohol in the wine. That's absurd. Jesus didn't take the Nazarite vow. He was a Nazarene. Big difference between those two. The other part about this that's really important is that Jesus didn't, it doesn't say he overindulged, didn't do any of that. He ate. They called him a glutton because he, wait, because he ate. Don't you see how bizarre that is? It's like, wait, you're calling him a glutton? Because he would eat, so, and then he would drink. Oh, he's a drunkard, right? They didn't do that because Jesus did those things. They did that because Jesus, like John the Baptist, was on a mission for the kingdom of God. And they hated him for it. See, that's what's going on. And then they add the third one, a friend of the worst sort of sinners. Because by golly, if a person's a sinner, just let him burn. Now, unfortunately, there's a lot of Christians who have that attitude in some of the political realms. You ought to knock that off. That's not healthy. But the idea behind this is to really grasp that these people hate everything that's from God, on a mission from God. And when Jesus said wisdom will be justified by her children, or wisdom shall be shown right by what results from it, that means the fruit of what will take place will justify the positions that they have. That's what it's talking about. And what will happen is there is coming a time where the judgment seat will happen, and that people who are not found in the book of life will be judged, and Jesus and John the Baptist will be demonstrated as right, and they will prevail. That's what's going to happen. Did it happen right then and there? They killed both of them. Now, Jesus resurrected, but they killed John the Baptist, and they killed Jesus. Because they were on a mission for the kingdom of God. That's why. And there is no chance, let me say this, there's no chance that the world system, not people in the world, the Lord's trying to reach people in the world, but there's no chance that the satanic systems are going to say, yay, for the kingdom of God. That's not going to happen. Okay? But in the meantime, much like Paul said, we share, hoping that some of the people in the palace will hear. That's what we're doing, trying to reach the few people that God has said, I am real, and they kind of know it in their heart, and we might just be the thing that pushes them over. But that's what's going on. Jesus said, never satisfied, because it's all a mission from God. So they hated it. Yeah, now apply that to today. Oops, it's exactly like today, isn't it? You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience.
Verse 39, when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away. The eunuch never saw him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Verse 40, meanwhile, Philip found himself farther north at the city of Azotus. He preached the good news there and in every city along the way until he came to Caesarea. He was in Caesarea, by the way, for 20 years, which explains why he had the daughters. But here's what I want you to catch. While he was en route, he landed in the Azotus. However he got from point A to point B is amazing. We don't even know. But what he did was he preached the gospel in every city along the way until he came to his destination. And if you cannot recognize, that is a testimony from God saying you take the gospel wherever you go until you reach your destination, which is either you being called up to the Lord personally, corporately, or however it's going to take place. Every place we go, everywhere we are, we take the gospel. That does not mean you grab a microphone. It does not mean you grab some kind of bullhorn and scream at people with the gospel. You just make sure that you are sensitive. That's the very DNA we talk about all the time. You're sensitive to the Lord. You're taking the gospel with you wherever you go. You're recognizing that wherever you go, you might have a one-time encounter with somebody, and they might make a decision for Jesus just based on that encounter. Noelle and I had that exact thing happen on our way from San Diego to Rockwell, to Fate. And we met somebody from a hotel that we were at and talked to them one time and prayed with her. And she became a Christian. And we never saw her again. It's not our call. It's up to the Lord. Just be available. You don't have to be, that's the word I'm looking for. You don't have to be Billy Graham. Like I said, Billy Graham wasn't Billy Graham. In other words, just be yourself. Be available. You never know what the Lord will do and how he'll use that. Okay? That's what's so cool about this text. Now, we finished up to chapter 8. Now, Acts chapter 9, we're going into Saul. And that is some serious stuff. Here is the trivia question. What was the affliction of the woman who was touched who touched the hem of Jesus' robe, and she had an issue with bleeding, an issue of blood, for quite some time, as we know, 12 years. The issue of blood, that is what she sought the Lord for, and she touched him, and then Jesus healed her physically, socially, psychologically, and emotionally all together at one time. Isn't that cool? Jesus is cool.
770 KAAM, Garland, Dallas, Fort Worth.